We want to talk today about wonderful salvation. Thank the Lord. I have found different scriptures about this. We've been saved, it'll be 53 years in November, 52 years. Mm-hmm. It's only God's grace that's kept us saved. You know, we're only giving him the glory, but we were saved when we were 18 years old and we just turned 70 last October. And I'm so thankful that I got saved. If I could get saved all over again, I'd got saved all over again, except earlier. But that was my opportunity. God worked out for me. It's been a wonderful salvation. I want to talk, starting here, some different stories. I want to talk about Peter and John, the third chapter of Acts. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. I want to talk about this miracle that happened to this man. And we know that salvation is the greatest miracle. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. So we want to get this picture of Peter and John going to the temple to worship the Lord, and this man's out in front. He can't walk, and he's got his little offering, one offering. And this is such a wonderful story because they didn't have a lot of money to give this man, but they had something greater than that. Yeah. And Peter and John said, the man said, he asked alms of them. They entered to the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, that was a greater thing than money, wasn't it? Yeah. He was healed right that day. He took him by the right hand. You know, Peter and John had faith, didn't they? Yeah. And they lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat by for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto them. And they just could not understand how this miracle could happen. You know, and it's that way with salvation too. A lot of people wonder, how could you be changed so much? How could you just quit doing the bad things in your life and quit sinning? It's the blood of Jesus. It's a wonderful salvation. It's a miracle. Just like this miracle is different. Healing miracle. It's a healing of your soul. And so he said, and they asked it in the 12th chapter. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk, it wasn't us. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now this is how he is saved. This man has been healed. Jesus came into this world, born and lived and did miracles, and then he died on the cross for our sins. Then he raised from the grave. In a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate Easter. He raised from the grave. This is how this man was able to walk. Yes, he used his servants. He uses his servants, but it's all through the working of the power of God. We're just his servants, but the Lord works through us. And it says here, and he go on to say, "And repent ye therefore," in the ninth verse, "and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." And then it says, oh, someone could give me a water bottle. I'm going to probably need it. And please. And the fourth verse, they said, and when they had set them in the midst, they were still very concerned about this miracle because they were afraid that so many people were going to follow Jesus. And they were going to follow. And when they sent them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the potent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So you see? So who? How can we get saved? Jesus.
All the way.
All the way. There's no other way we can be saved. Listen, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other way. We have a psalm, and our psalm book says, only the narrow way. People try to climb up some other ways and try to go to sectism and other places where they can maybe get, you know, be a little not as strict or something as they think the saints are. But that doesn't matter, does it? It's the Bible way. It's not just what the saints teach, but it's what the Bible teaches. We got to follow it if we want to get to heaven. And it says here, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The reason I can tell you this morning about the wonderful salvation is because it's worked in my life. It's worked in my life.
Right.
I have not sinned for 52 years. November, when I got saved, we got married November 15th, and I got saved on the 12th, a couple of days before that, on Friday. We got married Monday. And all this time, it's not me. It's the power of the blood of Jesus. This wonderful salvation has kept me saved. Isn't that wonderful? And the true Holy Spirit that came in my life. So we know that this is so wonderful. And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. They marveled, but they just didn't know what to say. But they were still very concerned. And it says, so then they called them and they commanded them, Peter and John, I don't want you to speak in the name of Jesus anymore because people are going to follow you. That's what they told Peter and John. But Peter and John were bold to speak out for God. And they said, Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. So that was another note I wanted to get. He was above 40 years old when he was healed. So many years he was in that condition. But it said, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And it goes on to say, of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. But now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. But if you notice back here what they said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. So they weren't going to listen. They could not listen. And they said, Peter and John, don't talk no more about God. Don't talk about these miracles. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't do that. And they could not, but they just had to go forward and serve God. And so this is the powerful prayers that we know. I want to turn over to St. John, the third chapter. And I want you to remember the verse that I read about. None other name. There's none other name that can be saved. St. John 3. I want to talk a little bit about Nicodemus. Third chapter of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Thank you. Thank you so much. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, you know, this is something sometimes, the salvation is something that people have to kind of try to figure out. How does it happen? How does this wonderful salvation work? But it says, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We were born of a mother. We were born in the flesh. All of us was born of the flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. This is a spiritual thing. This is your spirit inside of you. This, your spirit has to be born again. And when you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, he forgives us and he keeps us. And no matter how long we've been saved, the story about salvation is a wonderful salvation story. It's something to keep us encouraged. Whether we're saved today, we all could be saved today. But that still needs, we need to hear about how wonderful salvation is because we need to keep saved. We need to keep a hold of it. And it says here, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? This morning, we're speaking about heavenly things, about a spiritual thing. It's a heavenly salvation. It's something divine. It comes from God. We see the wind blowing in the trees, but we can't see the actual wind.
That's right.
But we see the leaves moving and the effects of that, don't we? So it is when someone gets saved, you see the difference in their life. Mm-hmm. You see how they're not the same person. They're the same person as far as the flesh, but in spirit, they're a different person. Mm-hmm. And it affects their whole life. They change so much. Mm-hmm. And so it says here, if I tell you heavenly things, you must believe these heavenly things. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Dear ones, this morning, we were talking about different ones that are sick, and we all know we're going to face death one of these days. But we don't have to perish. It may look like we're perished. It may look like when we die that our life is over here on earth. And they're just perished. They take them, they have a funeral, they bury them in the ground. It looks like we're perished, but we are not perished when we have Christ. Jesus promised us hope that we will rise again. And our spirit is already with God. That's just our body that's put there. But God's going to change that body and reunite our spirit with, and we're going to live in heaven forever and ever. What it's going to be like, it's a mysterious. We don't know. We don't know until we actually experience it all together. We know what God tells us in the Bible, and we believe it. But until we actually experience it, but the most important thing is remember, get saved, Stay saved. Keep this wonderful salvation in your heart. Don't let the devil, he'll be after you all your life. But praise God, he does not have to get you because you are sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So you have this wonderful salvation. Now listen, for God so loved the world. Most of us can probably quote that scripture. St. John 3:16. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, a spirit of trying to crush people or condemn them, that's not the right spirit. But the spirit of the saints, the true saints of God, is wanting to lift people up, not put them down, wanting to encourage them to help find the true way of salvation. That's what we want to do. We don't think that we're just holier than thou, other people. We're only holy because Jesus made us holy. Without God, we'd be nothing. But it said, be holy, for I am holy. But God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know, that's what people in the world, they don't want to come to the understanding of the light. They want to stay in their sins. But when you want to get rid of those sins and get rid of those things, and you want to come to the light, come to the truth, be on the narrow road, that's what God wants us to do. Mm-hmm. Let the salvation come to us. God so loved the world. Now, we want to talk a little bit over here in St. John. I'm thinking about Easter, what Easter really means. And, you know, I love the story. I love to read about Jesus rising from the grave. That's not a small thing, dear ones. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. And we talk a lot about Jesus dying on the cross, but I tell you what, he didn't stay in that grave 3 days. He came out. He came out.
Amen.
And he arose, and in 2 weeks we're gonna celebrate Easter, and probably Sister Clay will be back by then, I think. But anyway, we're gonna celebrate Easter, and he arose from the grave, triumphant. Yes. And they couldn't keep him in that grave. Thank the Lord. And so we want to read a little bit in the 20th chapter of St. John. Why did he die on the cross? Why did all this happen?
For us.
For us, because he loves us. He loves us and he wants us to be saved. And you know, I remember here in the 20th chapter, it says, Jesus said to them in the 11th verse, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath a greater sin. So what he's saying is, you think that you're doing all this, but God's allowing you to do this to me. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. So they just were so against him. But anyway, you remember when they wrote on the cross, and the writing was Jesus, 19th verse of 19th chapter of John, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. Then said the priest to the Jews, to Pilate, don't write that on the cross, the King of the Jews, but that he said he was the King of the Jews. See, they didn't like that. But Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. And, you know, sometimes we got to stand up for the Lord.
Right.
We got to stand up for the Lord and stand up for in a right way. And that's what I've written what I've written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments. And we know all that said. But then they put him in the grave after he died. And he said in the 30th verse, it is finished. What did he mean when he said it is finished? He meant we could be saved.
Yeah.
His blood, so many years ago, came onto my soul. That same blood reached me, his blood. I thank the Lord this morning. This wonderful salvation is so wonderful. We have a little granddaughter. She's only about 3 years old, a little over three now. But they had a video of her where she was going, wonderful salvation. Because we sing that at church. She goes, this wonderful salvation. That's so cute. But anyway, you know, they get a hold of those songs. And they might not even understand it all right now, but they will later. But Jesus said it's finished. And then they put him in the tomb. And we want to go over here. And the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Now he had arose. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciples, well, we think that's John, and come to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went in not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Do you know what that means? Back then, among the Jews and things, they were, if when you finished dinner, if you would fold your napkin a certain way and put it aside, it meant that you would come back. You would come back and have dinner with them again. So what Jesus is saying is, I'm coming back.
Right.
I'm coming back for you. Mm-hmm. So that's a wonderful thing to get a hold of there. The napkin that was about his head was not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked unto the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. What would that be like? To go in there and see those two angels, one at the head of where Jesus had lain and one at the foot, but Jesus wasn't there. And then the angels talked to them. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith that to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where they hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. So she was out in the beautiful garden, and there Jesus was, a risen Savior.
Yeah.
And she thought it was a gardener at first because she was crying so much. But when he spoke her name, Mary, is that not like us when he speaks our name? When he tells us, I love you. I want to help you. And he speaks your name. He does. He spoke my name. He speaks your name as I want you to get to heaven. I want to help you. You know, he said, Mary, and Jesus said, touch me not. For I imagine she was probably wanting to grab him or something because she's so happy. He said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto thy Father, my Father, and your Father, and to my God and your God.
Yeah.
So Mary Magdalene was the first little preacher, lady preacher. He told Mary, go the first message, you go tell my disciples that Jesus, you know, Jesus rose, you know, Jesus loved the women in the right way. They were his handmaidens. They were his. He helped them, you know. He loved the men too, but he loved them too. And then the same day at evening, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And I have read that not only were those doors shut, but they had barred them. They were so afraid that the Jews were going to come get them and kill them. Mm-hmm. And they barred them. But Jesus, he was a spirit too, and he could just go right through the wall, you know. And even though he was flesh too, a spiritual flesh. And so he said, here, peace be unto you. Jesus stood in the midst, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and the disciples were very glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I love that song. He sent in the disciples. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, was not there when Jesus came, was not with them. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, the print of his nails, the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Do you know, we can say things and we think nobody else hears us. But Jesus hears us. He hears our thoughts. He reads our thoughts. Nobody else can read our thoughts, but God can. He can get right down into our heart, our mind. And he knew what Thomas had said. And he wasn't there at that time, but he knew. And so what did Thomas? So then said he to Thomas, then after 8 days, and I wonder, you know, I read this one time and said, why did the Lord wait so long? Like he appeared to him, then maybe wait 8 days, and then he appeared again. Because he wanted them to know, I'm not the same Jesus. I'm the same Jesus, but I'm not going to be with you all the time 24/7 anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm going to appear to you and let you know I'm alive, but I've got better plans. I'm going on to heaven. Yeah, so he didn't want them to depend on him. He was always going to be there all the time. And so 8 days later, he comes back and he says to Thomas, Thomas is there. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to the Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And that is for us today. We are blessed people because we didn't see Jesus in the flesh, but we've seen him spiritually. And it says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, in this precious Bible. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I'm telling you, dear ones, The most important thing that we can ever do is get saved.
Right.
It's a wonderful salvation. And not only get saved, but keep saved. Don't let the devil hinder you. No matter what he does, do not let him get you discouraged. He'll try it. He'll try it. But you know what I've learned in life? Life changes. And if you'll just hold on, trouble leaves and happy days come again. And you can, I don't know how happy days could come again in my life. You know what? God has a way of working. He can change things. He can move things. He has the providence of God is in your life. You hang on to God and he will make you happy days. He will give again what the devil's trying to destroy. He will give you happy days. He will give you life, not only in this world, happiness, but he will give you the hope of heaven. It's wonderful. I don't get discouraged about getting older because all I want to know is I go to heaven when I'm gone. I want to go to heaven. I want to make it. Yeah. That's my highest goal in life, my priority. You know, everybody has goals in life. Well, my goal is priority number one is to make it to heaven. I have other little goals like cleaning out your pantry or something like that. But goals, make it to heaven. That's the main goal. You remember that. Nothing else is as important as you holding on to this wonderful salvation. It's wonderful salvation. And I just thank the Lord for that. And I just thank the Lord for all these stories. And I want to go back here to Acts 1 and 3, just a little bit here. After he appeared, I'm sure everybody knows. Maybe don't know. We'll read it. Acts 1. And it says in the second verse, until the day in which he was taken up to heaven, I'm added the heaven. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive. Now I want to get this, alive. After he come out of the grave, he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs being seen of them 40 days. 40 days. Just think about that. 40 days he stayed and kept appearing to them. And it said, and speaking to them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith that ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And we want to say the Holy Ghost is a very friendly, sweet, gentle spirit. And the Holy Ghost is not something that makes you afraid. The Holy Ghost is given to you to seal you from the sin that you never, and give you power and comfort and all those good things. The Holy Ghost comes right inside of your body when you're saved. You have to be saved to ask for it. When you're saved, you ask the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit. He gives it to you, and it gives you more power to live a holy life. It's a wonderful gift that God gives us. And therefore, when, excuse me, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? See, they're still a little bit confused. He didn't come to put a kingdom in this world. He didn't know. His kingdom was of heaven. And he said of them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. What kind of power? It's a holy power to live free from sin. It's a holy power to shut your mouth sometimes when you feel like saying something. And the Lord said, no, that's not nice. Don't say that. And, you know, that's the kind of power it is. To have a sweet spirit under trials and problems and troubles. Have a sweet power, sweet spirit. That's the kind of power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up. He just started rising from the ground and going up, up, up. If he was here past that ceiling, up into the clouds. But he was outside, but he was up into the clouds on the mountain. All of it, I believe. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, two men stood by them in white apparel. They were angels, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go to heaven. You know, dear ones, today I'm going to say everyone here that's listening, one of these days, we're going to see Jesus come. Yeah, we will. Even if we have died. And the Lord said the saints will come out of the ground first. So we're all going to see Jesus coming. I'm so excited about that. Now, you can't be excited about that if you're not saved. But when you're saved, you can be excited about it, right? And it says, they returned, they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Well, that's where they were. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son, Simon, Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So that's where they were praying after Jesus went on. So I just want to encourage us today. And I have one more scripture I want to read to you. But is it all right to have some favorite? I love all the Bible, but I have some. Is it okay to have favorites?
Sure.
Well, this is one of my favorites. The first chapter of Acts of when Jesus went up to heaven. I just can imagine being there and have the angels come and all. Just that was a wonderful day, wasn't it? I mean, they were sad because he was leaving them. But yet, if you could see that, and someday we're going to see, like that song says, our faith will be lost in sight. And I have a couple more scriptures I want to read you. Psalms 27. This one thing I have desired of the Lord. In the fourth verse of Psalms 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, a lot of people today are seeking lots of things. Houses, cars, trucks, boats, vacation homes, clothes, restaurants. You know, seeking all these things in this life. And some of them it's okay to have to a certain point. But the one thing we will seek after most of all. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I can be saved and have this wonderful salvation. That's what I'm going to seek after. And Lord willing, here's one more scripture in St. Matthew. What are you seeking after today? Is your wonderful salvation the most important thing in your life? You just want to keep it with all your heart. You want to please the Lord with all your heart. That should be above everything. Because we want to go to heaven when we die. And we want to be happy while we're here. That's just not the only reason. We want to be happy while we're here. St. Matthew 1 and 21. When Jesus was born, this is what they said about him. Matthew 1, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. So when we get saved, we are saved from our sins. We don't keep sinning and be a Christian. Jesus didn't die on the cross for just no reason. His power and his blood is to save us from sins. And when the woman was done wrong, you know, and God saved her, he said, go and sin no more.
That's what he told her. Yeah.
And if you read in Romans, it talks about, you know, God does not like sin. But we've got a hope. We got a hope right here. We don't have to sin. We can have wonderful salvation. Thank the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be with you here today. I hope that you're encouraged. I'm sure you are. And I just want to encourage you to make heaven your home. And remember that the wonderful salvation is the most important thing that we can ever have. Thank the Lord.